Question. Have you ever been in a position where you have all the power and somebody else is completely vulnerable and whatever happens next is entirely up to you? There's an excellent example of this in the Bible. It's Joseph in Egypt. He was the second most powerful man in that part of the world at that time, and people from all over the countries around had to come to him to get food. And they would. They'd come starving and begging for food in their abject humility. And one day, his brothers came. They did not recognize him, but he certainly recognized them. And he had all this power. And so what is he going to do? You know, for what they did to him when he was 17, he certainly could have relegated them to slavery or sent them to prison or sent them to the torturers or sent them to the executioner. He had that much power and they were that vulnerable. And yet we know that he had mercy on them. This is the topic of the fifth beatitude in our study of the Beatitudes from Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. From back in your catechism days, you probably remember the two-sided coin of grace and mercy. Grace is undeserved love. Jesus loves us even though we don't deserve any of it. He loves us anyway. And of course, on the other side, then mercy, that's that when we don't get what we do deserve, namely eternal punishment. We were so vulnerable, and God could have simply sent us to hell, but he did not do that. He did not give us what we deserve. Joseph's brothers, too, they deserved punishment, but they did not get what they deserved. Because of mercy, they got something far better. So this word deserve seems to be an integral part of this whole concept of mercy. Have you ever noticed in the world today, though, there are a lot of people who are kind of, they have an overdeveloped sense of what they think they deserve. It's called entitlement. Man has a strong sense of entitlement. People believe they deserve certain considerations. They have this, you know, they're so quick to yell and cry, that's unfair, when one little thing doesn't quite go their way or when they don't feel like they're getting what they are entitled to. Another common thing you see is that when people mess up, they make a bad mistake, they automatically jump to what they think they deserve. They deserve a second chance. But this is not really true. It's a man-made idea that you deserve a second chance when you mess up. Now, granted, a lot of times people are granted a second chance, but that's because of the mercy of somebody else. But and that does happen, but people should never feel they are entitled to the mercy. I mean, after all, they messed up. It is stated rather clearly for us in Scripture, is it not? What exactly are you entitled to? The wages of sin is death. In those six words, it's rather clear. The wages of sin is death. And this is at the very foundation of this whole thought process of a Christian. Yes, we deserve death. But instead, we have heaven waiting for us. Not because of entitlement, but purely because of mercy. We are not getting what we deserve. We are getting something far, far better. From Psalm 145, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. A major component of mercy is forgiveness on a daily basis. Forgiveness. Jesus teaches us that we are to forgive one another. Always be forgiving, even when we think we have reached our limit. You remember Peter when he asked that question? Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7, but up to 70 times 7, from Matthew 18. So yes, you will have plenty of opportunities to be merciful to each other and to show forgiveness to each other. We would never be like that unmerciful servant, would we? You know the story about that man who had such a humongous debt that he could never repay, never hope of any repayment. And in compassion, his master forgave him of that debt. And what's our guy do? He leaves there and he finds another poor guy who owes him a piddly amount. And when that guy could not pay him, he was not merciful to him. So forgiveness is a key component of mercy. Another one is action. Action. And one of the best examples of mercy in action, of course, is the Good Samaritan story from Luke 10, about the man who saw the fellow who had been robbed and left for dead on the roadside, and he stopped to help, even though a couple of other people had passed him by and ignored him. We are blessed when we are merciful toward others. Mercy is something that God Himself displays. In Deuteronomy 30, the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity. He will have mercy on you. And the psalmist writes, praise be to the Lord, for He has heard my cry for mercy. Jesus Himself, of course, showed mercy over and over again, like to that man from whom He had cast out all those demons. He said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you, from Mark chapter 5. And we too have received so much mercy. Romans 11, you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy. And of course, our salvation in itself is an act of God's mercy. From Titus 3, He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. As Peter expressed it, in His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. God's children receive this mercy from God, and then we reflect it to each other. And we are merciful ourselves. We know what we deserve. Yes, we know what we deserve, but we get something far better. The person who is merciful will be eternally happy because he knows all about God's mercy. A hymn that is an excellent expression of this mercy is hymn 20. Let's sing the first and last stanzas of hymn 20.